Look in verse 16, Proverbs 24 and verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Clarence McCartney was a well-known pastor, pastored in Philadelphia, pastored in Pittsburgh, pastored in Paterson, New Jersey. That was the three main churches that he pastored. But his work in Philadelphia at the Philadelphia Tabernacle Church, he became renowned for his stand on the fact that God was there to help us no matter what we're facing in life, that God never failed. He didn't think that that needed to be modernized or that it needed to be changed. He believed God was God regardless of what society did. He remained God. And he was a poet as well as a great preacher. He had a magnificent mind, and he went in areas of thought with his ministry and sermons, and I've read a number of his sermons. And one of his great sermons you've heard people quote from and probably didn't give him the credit for it because they may not have known where it came from. He is the preacher that wrote the sermon and preached the message and put it in book form about the four greatest words in the Bible. He said that sin is the saddest word. Forgiveness is the most beautiful word. Tomorrow is the most dangerous word. And no is the hardest word. Four of the greatest words in the Bible. And that's what he focused on. Sin, forgiveness, tomorrow, and no. And I've read that sermon a number of times. But I have to say, there's one word that he left out that to me, I feel is one of the greatest words in the Bible. It's the word again. Again. If the just man falleth seven times, he riseth up again. We serve a God that comes again. That helps us again. Here we are once again needing God's help in the time of need. I'm glad God just doesn't come to us one time and that's the end of the story. But he comes again and again. Well, in fact, I can prove to you how powerful the word is. In your Bible, the word sin occurs 448 times in 389 verses. The word hate occurs 87 times in 85 verses. The word anger appears 234 times in 228 verses. Bitterness occurs 22 times in 21 verses. Envy occurs 20 times in 19 verses. Lust occurs 19 times in 18 verses. But the word again appears 672 times in 651 verses in your Bible. How about if I preach about all 672 this morning? It's just the power of that word again. Because we see things that God does again. It's not over. He does it again. For example, think of the life of Samuel. You remember Samuel, and we use that scripture every time that a child is dedicated and the parents dedicate themselves and their child to the Lord. We talked about how Hannah presented him back to the Lord and said, "For this child I have prayed and the Lord gave me my petition." And you remember she went beyond that because she said, "As long as he liveth, he shall be lent unto the Lord." She was so dedicated to that that she took Samuel to the house of God. And there they gave Samuel to the priest to raise him in the house of God. So Samuel grew up in his early life under the direction of the priest and the other workers in the temple. There in that time, he was there at the house of God, living at the house of God, and then suddenly something happens to Samuel. This man that would later become a great prophet. He hears a voice, "Samuel." And he said, "Here am I." And it's nighttime. Eli the priest is now asleep. And he gets up and calls to Eli. And Eli tells him, "Go back to bed." He calls the second time, "Samuel." Once again, he calls out to the priest and there's no answer. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 3:8, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time." And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived the Lord had called the child. The Lord called Samuel again the third time. Now, what's the significance of that? God comes again to give us understanding. They didn't understand what was going on. Samuel didn't understand what was happening. The priest Eli didn't understand what was happening. We're here this morning, and I'll be honest with you. I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand it. I know this family don't understand it. But thank God He will come again and again and again and again until He gives us the understanding that we need. God will come again and again until we get it and we understand it. Some things I won't understand until later. Some things I won't understand until the hereafter. But God is faithful in all things, that God will come and speak to us again and again. Again and again. Samson was born to his parents. Manoah, his father, wasn't with his wife when the angel of the Lord came to Manoah. Manoah's wife. And the angel said, You're going to have a son, a child, a man child. It was Samson, the judge. And said when the child's born, they gave a list of Nazarite vows that they were to keep with that child. And Manoah's wife goes to Manoah and says, The man of God came to visit me. The angel of God came to visit with me and said, We're going to have a child. He rejoiced at the fact that he had a child, but then came that list of the Nazarite vows. And he didn't know how he was going to do it. How am I going to raise this child? And the more he thought about it, the more confused that he got about it. So in Judges chapter 13 and verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the children, unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to Manoah, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord came again. Confirmation. Sometimes we're at a place where that we don't understand, and God speaks to give us understanding. Sometimes God says, Listen, I know you're human. And I know in the midst of shock and surprise that you don't always know what's going on. But God says, Don't worry. I'll keep coming again and again and again to confirm and help you when you don't know what to do. I'm there to confirm that I'm with you. And as long as you honor me in all things and do what's right, God says, I will be with you and I will help you through all of this. And God confirms to us what to do. I know a lot of us wonder when we face things like this, what will we do? I know it's common for the family to wonder, what will we do? I don't think it would embarrass Denise for me to say today that she said a lot of times, Kai, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I think that's normal. I think it's natural. One thing she will confirm to you, not one time have I told her what you should do. I can't tell you what to do. Denise, I can't tell the girls, these son-in-law, these grandkids, I can't tell you what to do. But I can make you a promise today. God will tell you exactly what to do on each step of the journey. It's okay if we forget a few things because God will come again. And say, I'm here to confirm one more time. I'm with you. I'm here to confirm. Do this. Do that. That's what life is. It's a journey. And we don't know from day to day and hour to hour and step to step what we're going to do. But God confirms Himself. God confirms again. You remember in Mark chapter 8, there was a man that was born blind. They brought this blind man to Jesus. And when Jesus had let him out, he placed the clay on his eyes and he said, Can you see? And he said, I see men as trees walking. And the Bible says that Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And his sight was restored. He saw all men as they should be. Thank God He'll not only confirm things to us again, and He'll not only speak to us again, but He'll touch us again. Sometimes we need more of Him. Sometimes we need Him to touch us one more time. Sometimes we feel like we have exhausted everything that is within us, and we have gone as far as we can go, and we're absolutely exhausted and we're drained. But oh Lord, if You just touch us one more time, we stand in need of Your touch as never before. When You touch us, we see clearly, we understand clearly, we know what we're to do. If You just touch us one more time. To be able to touch. Years ago, I'm glad I'm not one of those narrow-minded preachers that feel like I'm the only one who knows the answers and the people I run around with have all that I can ever learn. You're going to deprive yourself a lot of blessings. You don't have to agree with everybody on everything. But just because you disagree on a few minor points in the Bible doesn't mean they still can't teach you something. Years ago, I received a book from a preacher. And when I got the book, another preacher was there. And he said, "Why, I wouldn't read that book for anything." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because the man that wrote it." When he went away, I thought about it for a little while. And I thought, well, that's a bad attitude. If he's that bad, I'm going to read it to find out what's wrong. And the whole book was nothing more than the power of the touch. It's what He dealt with. You know, even the Lord Himself said to the apostles, when they went forth, you'll find out they laid hands on people. It's not the power of our hands. It's the power of the touch. When we reach out to touch people's lives, do you know how important that is? Do you know what it means to somebody when they're there, a child in the middle of the night, when they're sick, and the fever absolutely overcomes their body? Do you know what it means to a child to feel the touch of their mother's hand on their head? Do you know what it means to somebody when that you're standing by them in times of fear? Have you ever stood by a child getting ready to get on a roller coaster for the first time? And they're trying to be brave and they're trying to make it. And you look at them and you can tell they're afraid. You say, "Are you okay?" "I'm okay. I'm fine." And then suddenly, out of nowhere, you sense that something's wrong and you reach over and take them by the hand. And you say, "It's okay, I'm with you." It doesn't take all the fear away, but suddenly they're saying, "I don't have to worry about it because mom, dad, brother, sister, best friend has me by the hand." The power of the touch. In our life, we have the opportunity to touch people. God sends us people in our life that they not only touch us, but in turn, we're able to touch them. And the power of the touch makes the difference. Touch them again. Touch them again. Touch them. You don't think that's important? I watch these babies in neonatal ICU. And oftentimes, because of their condition, you can't touch them. A mother can't touch them with her hands. There's gloves on her. She has to reach through with gloves to touch the child. When they work with the child, they touch the child in that manner. And then finally the day comes where they're able to be exposed to a little more. And finally they can touch mom and dad, and mom and dad can touch them. The power of the touch. That's precious. But I want to say this to you this morning. There's no touch like the touch of Jesus Christ on our life. When He touches us, we're not the same. It's always for the better. We're not oftentimes what we want to be. There's things that hinder us physically. But when the Lord touches us, that's what makes the difference. If you're here today and maybe you need a touch again, it's okay. I'm glad He didn't just touch me once and that's the end of it. I'm glad He's touched me again and again and again. The power of again. The Word He touches us again. There was the man with the withered hand in Mark chapter 3. Here's an interesting thing. You read Mark chapter 3 and verse 1, you'll read a small phrase there referring to Jesus. And he, Jesus, entered again into the synagogue. And when he went to church, when Jesus went to church, there was a man there that had a withered hand. Now, I don't read where Jesus had ever met this man anywhere else. I know he hadn't met this man anywhere else. If he had met him somewhere else, his hand wouldn't have been withered. His hand would not have been withered. So I know he hadn't met Jesus anywhere else. But again, that tells me that Jesus went to church. He went to church again and again. And this man went to church again and again. He really didn't feel like it. I'm sure that he was embarrassed over his condition, but again and again he went to church. Had you ever thought about this? If he had not gone to church that day, what would he have missed? Do you realize that you're here in God's house today, and it's not just coincidence that you're here? We're here because once again, we know that Jesus meets our needs, but there's many times he's met my needs in a lot of places, but there's a lot of folks that you'd have to agree. He's met your need the greatest when you were in church. And again, Jesus came to church. And again, the Lord gave him the healing that he needed. Again, the power of the word. Again. I think also about that woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. They wanted to stone her. Now, I'll say this, and I hope that you take it in love. You better be careful who you cut out of your life. The people that God sends to us in our life, and I know we have to be prudent. I'm not saying any of that. We have to have good judgment. But you know, if you're not careful, the very ones that God intends for us to be a blessing to, He'll send them to us and we'll send them away. Well, they brought this woman to Jesus because really, it wasn't so much they made her sin public to embarrass her, but who they were really trying to embarrass was Jesus. Now, let's get this right. You can't embarrass Him. He knows all things. And the other thing is, He doesn't have to answer to anybody. He's God all by Himself. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. You can't stop Him. He's in control. So suddenly they bring Him and said, "We caught this woman in the very act of adultery." I've often wondered where the man was at. Where was the man at? But they brought her. The reason they brought her was because they abused the women of that day. They didn't treat them like they ought to. They didn't do what they should. And they brought this woman, caught in the act of adultery, and said, "The law of Moses said we should stone her. What do you say?" And Jesus stooped down, writing in the ground. And he said, "Well, what does the law say?" He wanted to see if they were accurate. They responded to him. And then comes that wonderful phrase, "And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground." Now, I don't know what he wrote, but I know one thing. The Bible teaches us that they became convicted at what they read because he didn't say anything else. I don't know if he wrote down sins that they were doing. I don't know if he said, "Here's the one right here that did it," wanting to throw this. I don't know what he wrote. But I know one thing. There was power when he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. And then suddenly, one by one, they began to leave. The accusers were gone. And Jesus looked up, and here's this woman that is bent and broken. Broken over her sin, her wrongdoing, so near death. Should have died under the penalty of death, under the law. And Jesus said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" Where's those that accuse you? And then Jesus said, "I don't accuse you, neither do I accuse you. Go thy way and sin no more." Do you know what he did? He gave her forgiveness. Again, he gives forgiveness. Do you know that God is gracious to us and that Jesus Christ forgives us again and again and again? I'm sorry that we do wrong. I'm sorry that we go in the wrong direction. But the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to again wipe away sin and cleanse us and change our life. He does it again and again and again. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what you're guilty of. But I can make you this promise. If you'll confess your sin to Christ, I don't care if you did it when you were 3 years old, 5 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old. If we confess our sin again, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sin. I'm glad He don't just throw us away when we make the first mistake. But now here's the purpose of all of it. The Bible says, remember, it's the power of the Word again. The Bible says that Jesus died on a cross. The Bible says they put Him in a tomb. Joseph of Arimathea gave Him the tomb. But the Bible says He rose again. And the Bible says if we believe that Jesus died and rose, if we believe that Jesus died and rose, even so, them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Because our salvation is based on the fact that we serve a risen Savior. He died, but He rose again. He rose it. Well, preacher, I like that promise. Well, you can have that promise. The Lord gives it to each one of us. If we believe that He died and rose again, He'll save us of our sins. And one day each one of us will die, but that's not the end. We'll rise again. The trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But if you want to rise again, you've got to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. Well, what do you mean born again? Well, there's a natural birth. The birth that brings us to this life we have. Physical birth. But there's not only a birth of the flesh. The Bible teaches there's a birth of the Spirit. And if you're going to make heaven your home, He didn't say you can choose to be born again. You can take it or leave it. No, He said you must be born again. How we're going to make it through all of this lies on one simple fact. Bob was born again. Is there anybody in here has a doubt that Bob was born again? I don't have a doubt one. Bob was born again. Thank you, Lord. I was there when it happened. Some of us was there. You remember. I just wonder, how many of you were there the service that Bob was saved? Stand up. All of you that are there. The service Bob was saved. Have you thought anything about it the past few days? Wasn't it a great time? Thank God. We remember when Bob was born again. But because Bob was born again, Bob will rise again. And if you want to see him or any of your loved ones that have gone on before, I'm not being cruel. There's not many ways or a lot of ways. There's only one way. You must be born again. Back years ago, I was standing outside the office when we were in Ironton. And a fellow was standing. I was getting ready to go in. He stopped me, talked to me for a while. I'd known him. He was a very intellectual man, I thought, till I talked to him that day. He's a good man. And I talked to him for a few minutes. And he said, you know, he said, preacher, I appreciate you, and you do a lot of good to help people, and I believe that you all really care, and you try to help people. He said, but now, you're just wrong on this thing about the only way to heaven is Jesus. I said, well, if you don't care, explain to me where I'm wrong. I like to hear, not because I'm arrogant, I like to hear why you think I'm wrong. And this was his intellectual argument. He said, well, he said, you see, let's just do this. We're standing outside the office. The office, just about two blocks from the office, was our post office. And he said, see, going to heaven is like going to that post office. He said, you can turn here and Go back down Center Street and go to the post office. You can go over to Railroad Street and go to the post office. You can go back up and go down Fifth Street and come back in, make a U-turn up Fourth Street and go to the post. He gave a half a dozen ways of getting to the post office. And he said, that's where you're wrong. And I said, well, I don't know I'm so wrong. He said, why? I said, well, there's only one problem with your illustration. He said, what's that? I said, we're not all going to the post office when we die. There might be a lot of ways to the post office, but there's only one way to heaven. His name is Jesus, the Son of God, the living Son of God. And may I remind you, He is not dead today. He is alive forevermore. And He sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. If you are lost and need forgiveness, come again to Him. He'll forgive you. If you're here today and you need to be saved, come today. He loves you. He'll save you. You're here today and your heart is broken and you need to hear from Him again. You come. If you need Him to touch you, you come. If you need understanding again, you come. And you'll find that He'll come again and again and again.